Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started.
Hello to my wonderful loyal listeners from around the globe and beyond, and welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I am delighted to introduce you to my legendary guest today, Deborah Poneman. Deborah specializes in teaching people how to align with God or source energy to live in a state of grace and how to have a naturally abundant life. In the 80s, Deborah was a pioneer in the self-help movement, showing thousands of people around the world how to create lives of success and abundance. In fact, some of today's most renowned transformational leaders were Deborah's students and attribute their New York Times bestsellers and mega successful speaking empires to the principle they learned at Deborah's Yes to Success seminars. Deborah took 20 years off from her very successful career to raise her children and once again was led back to teaching abundance and success principles. Thankfully, Deborah said yes to her purpose of being a teacher again, and it's because of that I have her with us today. Welcome, Deborah, to the show Soul to Profit Radio. How are you?
I am so good and so happy to be here with you and your listeners.
Oh, fantastic. You know, in addition to our professional affiliation through the Evolutionary Business Council, I came across your work through a mutually dear friend, Harrison Klein. And I listened to an interview of you by Harrison, and I loved your message. You know, everything you said just completely resonated with me, and it's like my cells did a happy dance when you shared your message of abundance and joy. And before we get into that, though, would you please share with our listeners a little more about your background and what led you to discovering your soul's purpose?
Well, I would love to, and I will try to make a long story as short as I can, not leaving out any of the salient points that I think would serve others to hear. But I won't say what decade, but it was many decades ago, I became a meditation teacher at a very young age, and I spent about 10 years teaching meditation, traveling back and forth to India and Europe, and being with various they are called saints in the Eastern tradition, and people who are recognized as being realized beings. And during that decade, I really feel that I established an inner silence, an inner peace, an inner core. And of course, I still continue to do my meditation practice. But at the end of that decade, I realized that man and women do not live by breath alone. Maybe some do, but I couldn't. And it was probably about time that I got things like a job or maybe things like health insurance or car insurance or possibly even a car to insure. So because I wanted to continue to teach meditation, I thought, okay, how can I make some money really, really fast? I didn't know any principles about if you follow your heart or you follow your bliss and you do what you love, then the money will come. All I knew was that I was broke and I needed some money. So I left the meditation community that I was living in at the time, and I moved to Los Angeles because that's where I thought the money was. And even though I started selling investments and I was a dismal failure, we know that every step we take, even if on the surface it appears that it's wrong for us, it's always leading us to something even greater, because we're actually not the orchestrators of our lives. There's a higher power that is bringing us to our good. We just have to be patient. So I was selling investments. There was nothing right about it for me, but one night I was invited to go to a seminar, and I thought it was going to be on stocks and bonds. But I'll confess, this was in 1980, and the person who was giving the presentation was talking about the law of attraction, and he was not telling us how we should invest in certain stocks or start a 401k. He said, if you want to be truly prosperous, what you need to do is to think thoughts of abundance and prosperity and not keep voicing and complaining about how broke you are and how it's not going to get better. And he said one of the keys to prosperity is wishing other people success and prosperity or helping them to achieve that. Anyway, the entire night, every cell in my body was vibrating with the truth of what this man was saying. I never saw him again. I don't even know if he really existed. But I went home, and the next morning I did what any intelligent person would do. I quit my job, and I dove into this knowledge that I didn't even know existed. And it did only exist, you know, the science of mind and Church of Religious Science and people like Napoleon Hill and Florence Shin and Catherine Ponder and Wallace Wattles and Emmett Fox. There was so much rich knowledge from these great masters of success and prosperity and living an abundant life. And for 4 months, that's all I did was just read and listen to anything I could get my hands on. And at the end of the 4 months, I was ready to start my seminar company where I was going to teach people those principles. Now, the first thing that I want to share with everybody was I did freeze because I thought to myself, who am I? I mean, I'm 28 years old. I am broke. I'm driving a beat up 10-year-old Chevy Bel Air that my aunt had left me when she passed away. And I'm going to go and teach people how to be successful and prosperous. But one thing I knew that I learned from these great masters is that an idea comes to you because it wants to be manifested through you. And that's why we each have different ideas. One person might have the idea to, you know, climb to the top of Mount Everest. Not me, for sure. You know, another person might have the idea to open up a gluten-free bakery. Another person might have the idea to sell stocks and bonds. And I had the idea to start a seminar company. And what I believe is that the creator or God, that's the God of your understanding, whispers in your ear what God wants created on the planet at this time to uphold creation, to further creation. And when you get that whisper, it's kind of like you have first dibs on that idea, but if you don't act on it, God's going to whisper it to somebody else who is willing to act on it, because it is, the ideas come to us at the time in creation where the energy is just ripe for those ideas to be supported. So because I knew that and I had my doubts and about myself and doubts and all, and by the way, don't wait for everything to be perfectly in place. Everybody knows it will not happen. We live in a relative universe. There will always be loose ends. Do not use those loose ends as an excuse to not follow your dreams. And another thing that I knew for sure that helped me to be so successful in my career, and I'll tell you what happened in a second, the other thing that I knew is that from the time I had the idea to start the seminar company to the time that it was being taught in 7 countries on 4 continents. And again, this was over 30 years ago, so it might not sound like a lot now, 7 countries on 4 continents, but there was no internet at the time. So you can wrap your brain around that. And what helped me to be so successful is I didn't go around telling everybody what I was going to do until I was ready to give my first seminar or give my first introductory lecture. I think that's one of the places where people fall down. They go around telling everybody what they're going to do, and then they never do it because they use up the energy in the telling. And how many people listening have told 20 people about the book you're going to write, but you haven't written the first word? It's every time you tell somebody what you're going to do, you let the steam out of the kettle so the pressure doesn't build up and it doesn't have to burst forth into your amazing book that's inside of you. There's an expression that is that which is sacred should be kept secret, and your precious ideas are sacred. So don't go telling everybody, and then also you might bump up against the discouragement committee. Those are the people who are going to tell you why your idea is not going to work. So for all of those reasons, we keep our ideas, our precious sacred ideas to ourselves, We don't want them to be crushed by the discouragement committee. So we can share them when they're strong trees, not when they're little seeds. So when I was ready to give my first introductory presentation, I rented a room at the Santa Monica Public Library, and then I had to tell people what I was going to do. The discouragement committee showed up, but I couldn't turn back because I had already put up the posters myself. Again, there was no internet. And when I walked into the room, there was standing room only. It was overflowing, and that was the beginning of my career. And as I say, the rest was history. Within the next few years, my seminar was being taught in major corporations, McDonnell Douglas, Xerox, Mattel. They were all my clients. Again, I had reps teaching it around the world, and some of today's most renowned transformational leaders were my students and started their career by learning what I taught at my Yes to Success seminars. And that's the Cliff Notes version.
Wow, Deborah, that is a fantastic story. And I've heard parts of that in other interviews that you've given. And the thing that I find really remarkable, when the discouragement committee showed up, what were your words that you were like, well, just wait and see. I'm going to fill the room. And then you went back. And what did you do? Did you visualize the room filled? Or what was that really important piece that happened there?
Well, actually, a lot of people say visualization doesn't work, and I say it absolutely works. But it doesn't work in my case. We'll just use this as an example. It's not the room will be full, the room will be full, the room will be full. No, that's like people listen to The Secret, and they think that they could sit in front of a TV and watch soap operas and drink Diet Coke and eat Cheetos and think, I will be successful, I will be successful. Uh-uh. Well, first of all, you have to take action. I put up the posters. I studied. I created an amazing seminar. But I also visualized in the right way. And the right way is with emotion. And how I did it was I would visualize the room not only filled with people, but I would look into their hearts, and I would see their hearts overflowing with gratitude that I was bringing them this knowledge that was going to completely transform their lives. And I visualized my heart overflowing with gratitude that I could be a contribution to their lives. And when I felt that shift in energy, I knew it was done. So again, it wasn't the room will be full, the room will be full, but how am I going to contribute? And when I feel that energy coming, and this was weeks before I even, you know, walked into the room. I'll give you another example. People want to attract their soulmate. My soulmate is coming. My soulmate is coming. He is around the corner. No. But what you can do is visualize how it's going to feel while the two of you are walking down the sidewalk, holding hands and with your hearts overflowing as one, you know, sitting at the table, looking into each other's eyes. Actually, I just felt the shift. As soon as you feel the shift, then you know the visualization is done. And by the way, the truth is that you only have to do it once. Because the cosmic order taker, it's kind of like if you order something from the Neiman Marcus catalog, you don't, let's say you're ordering a dress, you don't have to send the order in every single day or two or three times a day. You send it in once and you're done. Or, you know, you order a pizza from Domino's, you don't just keep calling them and saying, now, did you get my order? Did you remember the mushrooms? When are you leaving? No, I mean, we put more faith in the Domino's pizza delivery guy than we do in God. You know, we don't need to keep reminding Domino's, but we feel like we have to keep reminding God. The only reason why we would continue to visualize the next day and the next day is because everything is energy. And when you match your vibration to the energy that of that thing that you want, then it will come more quickly. And if you're getting discouraged, you want to visualize it again for you, not for God. God already has the order, but for you to not contradict that you've put in that order. You don't want to cancel the order by getting sad, getting discouraged, feeling like it's not really coming. So you can continue to visualize, but again, that is for your sake and not for God's. God already has your order, and it's being filled. I remember there's this great quote by Albert Einstein. He says, everything is energy. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. This is not philosophy. This is physics.
Mm-hmm. It's truth. It is physics, and I love that. So it's emotionalize it rather than just visualize. Bring in the emotion from the heart, because even scientists are saying, and this is proven, that emotions from the heart can be measured outside of the body up to 2 kilometers.
Isn't that amazing? Oh,
it
my
is.
Gosh, I never heard that. 2 freaking kilometers.
Wow. Yeah.
I believe it. I believe
so
it.
So we know, okay, love what you said. Emotionalize it. Tap into the heart energy. Bring in the power of the heart. And then trust that when you've put your order in with God or the universe or source or whatever people refer to this beautiful energy, that it is on its way. So then let's talk about the next step in that manifestation process, which is the allowing part. Isn't that as important
yes.
as putting the order in and trusting?
Yes, absolutely. And what I always say, see, I'll tell you another great story just to kind of concretize what I'm saying about putting your order into life, but then, of course, letting go. And the way I tell people to let go is always say, this is exactly what I want, unless you have something better in mind. So I always say, this or something better. And I'll tell you another great thing to do if you want your good to come into your life. And I know, Jaden, that people hear this all the time, and people say, oh, don't tell me she's going to start up with that gratitude thing. But the truth is that we all know that we should do that gratitude thing, but people actually don't do it. They just know that they should do it. But I really believe that the power of gratitude is key for manifesting your good. So, for example, when I was driving that beat-up 10-year-old Chevy Bel Air, I didn't complain about it. I appreciated, actually, she had a name. Her name was Shirley, and I'd get in Shirley every day, and I'd say, thank you, Shirley, so much for getting me where I want to go. And I would just pat Shirley's dashboard and just appreciate Shirley. And at the same time, I went to the Mercedes dealership. Remember, I was completely flat broke. The only thing that I had done for the decade prior was teach meditation, just, you know, barely could scrape up enough money to buy myself food. And I went to the Mercedes dealership, and I picked up the exact car that I wanted. I got the brochure, cut out the picture, put it up on my bulletin board, saw myself driving that baby, felt myself behind the wheel, smiled as the feeling just driving down the street in that beautiful machine, and appreciated Shirley at the same time. And the truth is, Jaden, about 4 years later, I was then married, and my husband called me, and this is exactly how it happened. He said, hey, sweetheart, do you want a Mercedes? And I said, what anybody intelligent would say, what color is it? Because I wanted navy blue. My picture was navy blue. And I said, oh, he said, I don't know. I didn't find out. Somebody was driving it across country, needed the money, wanted to sell it. It was brand new. So he said, all right. You know, he probably rolled his eyes. I couldn't see. It was on the telephone. Called me back a few minutes later. He says, the guy says it's navy blue. I said, okay, I'll take it. And it was the exact, I mean, a few little features were different, but it was almost exactly the car that I had put the picture up on my bulletin board 4 years before. Now, I couldn't orchestrate that. Do you know? All I did was felt the emotion of it and had gratitude for what I do have. You know, many people spend so much time complaining about what they don't have that they don't have the time to appreciate what they have. And I'll tell you something else. When I saw people driving beautiful cars, I didn't curse them. I didn't have ill feelings towards them. I didn't think, oh, hey, I knew that guy. He was a jerk in high school, and he's still a jerk. What's he doing driving that gorgeous BMW? No. I would send him love from my heart to his. I would feel joy that he had this beautiful car. And then I would always say, and that's for me. I'll tell you one other quick thing. Marcy Shymoff, you know, who has written I think she sold 15 million chicken soup books and Happy for No Reason and Love for No Reason. She was one of my students in the early 80s. She was actually my secretary. She took my seminar and asked me if she could work for me, so she became my secretary assistant for several years. And she's now one of the – she's actually the number one female all-time best-selling author of nonfiction in the world. And for she's happy I kicked her out of the nest. But anyway, she has taken – every seminar imaginable on how to be successful and prosperous. And she says still the easiest and her favorite prosperity tool is when she sees something that somebody else has, she blesses them and says, and that's for me.
That's powerful. I love that because so many people do the other, like you said, you know, where they go into that person, I knew them back in, like you said, high school, and they're still a jerk and they're driving that car. So it's like, You gotta almost force yourself to avoid that kind of thinking and step right into happy for them and that's for me.
Exactly, exactly. And also remember to put above whatever it is you want, whether it's the relationship, the house, the Mercedes, you know, write down all the qualities. You know, be specific. Just like if you're ordering something from the Neiman Marcus catalog, you know, just put dress. You put the size and the color and the style and all of that. But in this case, you also write across the top of your order, this or something better.
This or something better. So when we put an order out into the universe, I think what you're saying is that it's really the – so our job is to get clear about what we desire to experience. And then in the universe's column, their job is to bring it back to us. But let's talk about timing because often we think, oh, you know, this isn't happening fast enough, or we want this to have happened yesterday, and then there's this waiting period. What is that all about, that waiting period thing?
Well, the way I look at the waiting period is that, hey, you could have something, you could settle for some relationship that isn't perfect, or you could just be patient while the creator creates all the circumstances to bring you that perfect relationship. Barbara King, who's a wonderful Unity minister down in Atlanta, she would always say her grandma was actually talking about, you know, Jesus or the Lord coming with bearing gifts or great gifts, and her grandma would say, he might not come when you want him to, but he will absolutely come on time. So I always say, what you want might not come when you want it to, but it will absolutely come on time. And if we look back on our lives, we'll see that when the great orchestrator of the universe gave us something, it was the right timing. And if we had gotten something, you know, we might not have been ready for it. Okay, mm-hmm. Sometimes things appear, we don't even recognize them because we have to prepare ourselves. And I was actually I go to this great gospel church here in Chicago that was started by Johnny Coleman in the 1950s. It's called Christ Universal Temple. And every week the sermon is just like, right, so spot on, I can't even tell you. And this week the gentleman who was giving the service, Reverend Derek Wells, he was saying that he was quoting the Bible story of how Joseph had to be in the pit. Remember, he was thrown into a pit before mm-hmm. he then became the advisor to the Pharaoh and he lived in the castle. And sometimes what happens when we're in the pit is we have to evaluate, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong in my life? Where am I not flowing good thoughts to people? Where am I not having gratitude? And so we might feel that we're in the pit right now, but use it as a beautiful time to reevaluate. And because one thing that you could absolutely, absolutely count on is that the castle is waiting for you and you will be lifted from the pit in absolute perfect timing, and in the meantime, use it to evaluate, use it to learn, use it to read books, to listen to wonderful shows like this, and you'll just get some gem that's going to be the catalyst to lift you from the pit and bring you into the castle.
I like that. That's beautiful. You said that so eloquently. And that's really part of the process that you referred to earlier about tuning your vibration, that you become a vibrational match for that which you want. So do you think it's more of people, let's say they put the desire out there, in your example, the perfect relationship. However, there are still some things that they need to do in order to work on themselves to become the perfect person for the perfect relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell people if they're looking for the perfect relationship, and I teach this in my seminars, first of all, look around your place. Is there any room for someone to come in, or is your place just cluttered up with junk? I mean, if somebody came into your life, is there any room in your closet to put any of their clothes? How about your nightstand? Is it like overflowing with books on both sides and junk and old banana peels? What I say to people is, on the physical level, create some space for the love of your life to come in. Really, take a look around your place. Would the love of your life want to be in that place? So you can prepare yourself spiritually, and you can prepare yourself physically. There are a million and one things that you can do in the meantime, and yes, you also have to clean out the clutter, not only in your physical space, but clean out the clutter of jealousy, clean out the clutter of resentment. Hey, I just recently, and I'm still going through a divorce, and I never for a second would think to wish my, we call each other my soon-to-be ex-husband. He calls me his soon-to-be ex-wife. We never think about wishing ill for the other one. Because what's going to happen? It's going to come right back. You know how that works in the universe. Whatever you put out comes back to you tenfold. Sometimes people say a hundredfold. Why would I send that boomerang out to him for it to come back to me tenfold? You know, wishing that he doesn't find a wonderful woman, or wishing that he fails in any way, or wish. No. Anything I want for myself, I am certainly going to wish for him, and knowing that it's going to come back to me tenfold. And I'll tell you something else. I'm often asked, is there one thing that I would share with people in order for them to open up that valve of prosperity and abundance in every area of their life? And there are so many things, but I think the most important thing is, whatever you want for yourself, give it away. Mm-hmm. If you want more money, give away, well, of course, at least 10%, especially if you can't afford it. 10% seems to be the magic number, and it says to the Creator, I know I'm not in control of my abundance. I know that you are, so I'm going to let go of this 10%, give it to the source of my spiritual inspiration, and I trust that it will come back to me tenfold. But it's not just money. You want to get a book published? Help somebody else get their book published. Give them context. Give them ideas. Give them, you know, great ideas for a title, whatever. You want your ideal relationship? Introduce your friends to great guys, to great women. You know, fix them up. Tell them about a great dating site, whatever it is. I'll give you an example here of what I mean. My dear friend Janet Atwood, who also used to be one of my students in the early 80s, actually she was the first person I trained to be one of my reps or one of my trainers, and you know, she wrote The Passion Test, wonderful, wonderful woman. One of the things that I love so much about Janet is that she's such a giver, and that's one of the reasons why she's so successful. When I took my 20 years off to be a mom at home, which we could talk about in a minute, and I came back out into the speaking industry, it had changed so much. It was like, oh my gosh, I used to be the only show in town teaching these principles in the early 80s. Now there's somebody teaching the law of attraction and laws of abundance all over, which is great, and I love it, but it was like, wow, where's my niche? Janet, this woman, let me tell you, every time she would get a speaking gig, she would say to the event planner, oh, you should also hire my friend Debbie. She calls me Debbie. You should also hire my friend Debbie. She didn't think, oh, you know, I'm not going to tell them about Debbie because if Debbie and I both speak, what if the meeting planner likes her better and then invites her back next time? Or what if there are other meeting planners in the audience and she gets the next gig and I don't? No, she would never think that for a second, because she knows that there are an infinite number of speaking gigs in the universe. And by her helping me, as a matter of fact, there's a passage in Kabbalah that says that when God looks down and sees you taking care of others, God says, you know, look at Jaden, look at how well he's taking care of others, not worrying about his own self-interest. I'm going to take care of him. And the Creator does. You see, there is plenty of wealth and success for all of us, and it's complete scarcity belief that if one person becomes wealthy or successful in a certain career, then that in some way is taking anything away from you. That's like seeing somebody go to the ocean with a teaspoon and taking a teaspoon of water from the ocean and getting all contracted and bent out of shape because now there might not be enough water for you.
Wow, that's an incredible visual.
Right.
Infinite supply. And you've said so many profound things there. And one thing that came to mind, I've always said this, is that what you wish for others, you create for yourself.
Beautifully concise. Boy, I took 10 minutes and you said it in one phrase.
Well, but you and I think so similarly, because that is something that I know to be true in my own life through my experiences, that it really does work that way. And you have such a tremendous amount of success in your life, and you've really achieved a level of success that most people only dream of. So will you share with our audience, Deborah, what were a few things in your career that really did help you? You know, that sort of was the tipping point where your business, after you came back after your 20-year hiatus, that it tipped over and you became tremendously successful again. Can you share a couple of those things?
Yeah, I can. And everything that I've said so far, these are not principles that I teach and don't live. I absolutely live every principle, or I try my best, and I don't beat myself up when I fall down a little bit. I still say, I love you. You really blew that one, and I still love you, and I touch my heart.
Nice.
Because really, I don't want anybody to think that I'm anywhere near perfect, but I do try my best. But so I do live these principles. But I'll tell you something, actually, that just popped into my head. I usually don't share this story, but I will. One of the things that I always teach and I try my best to live is to treat everybody as the most important person in the world, because in their world they are. And I take it a step further and I say that we should treat everybody like God, because we are all God. We are all made in the image of God. And God, I mean, next time you walk past a homeless person, look into that homeless person's eyes, and I promise you, you will see God. Actually, I love that expression. Mahatma Gandhi said, if you can't see God in the next person you meet, you need look no further. And God, I mean, see, God loves all of his children, just like a parent loves all of their children. God doesn't love the light worker any more than God loves the drug dealer, so you can get off of thinking that you're special. As a matter of fact, sometimes, you know, when we're parents and we have one child that's having a little bit of trouble, and I got kids, when they're having a little bit of trouble, it's like that's the child that maybe your heart even goes out to more. So because we are made in the image of God, and everybody is made in the image of God, one of the most profound success and prosperity principles I teach is that is the way that people should be treated, that you should treat the kid who takes your order at the Taco Bell with the exact same amount of respect that you treat your preacher, your teacher. Well, just a little story about that. As I mentioned earlier, Marcy Shimoff, who, as I say, sold 15 million chicken soup books. She wrote Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Single Soul, Chicken Soup, on and on and on. Well, when she came up to me after my seminar that she had taken with her, she's just so adorable and bright and beautiful, and she asked if she could work for me. She was a student at UCLA at the time. I didn't think, what can this little student from UCLA do for me? I treated her as the most important person in the world, gave her my full attention. I didn't look around the room to see if there was somebody else more important to talk to. Gave her my full attention, listened to what she had to say, and hired her. And about 20 years later, the chicken soup people contacted Marcy to write Chicken Soup for the American Idol Soul, which was would have to be a lay-down bestseller, the number one TV show of all times, and the number one book franchise of all times, but she couldn't do it because she was under contract for her wonderful book, Happy for No Reason. So they said to her, well, do you know anybody who's a great writer and who knows American Idol backwards and forwards? And she said, do I know someone who's a great writer and knows American Idol? And she gave me a call and said, how would you like to write a bestseller book? I said, that was one of the goals I wrote, you know, 20 years ago when I first started my company. And she said, well, the American Idol people, Chicken Soup people are looking for someone to write this book. And I was handed a bestseller book to write. Now, and not only that, there's two principles here. One is, and it was only, I didn't think, huh, I'm going to treat her like the most important person in the world, you know, 20 years prior, because one day she might get me a book gig. No, I treated her as the most important person in the world because that's the way she deserved to be treated. And it just so happened that 20 years later, she handed me a best-selling book to write. And the other principle that's alive here is that when I gave up my career, as you know, at the height of my success, when my daughter was born and I decided that I wanted to be a mom at home, when your kids, and I just followed my heart, even though everybody said to me, have you freaking gone out of your mind? I was about to have my own daytime TV talk show. I had a big publisher. I had a great agent, big publisher, very interested in my Yes to Success books. I had an infomercial running all over the U.S. I had, anyway, my seminar company was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, spreading out to all of these countries. And this baby was born. I took one look at her and I thought, ah, new passion. and because the thing is, I taught people to follow their heart. I taught people to be authentic. And how authentic would I be if I was off doing seminars when my heart was completely at home with this baby? So I just gave it up at the height of my success. But again, if you follow your heart, it will always lead you to your destination, even if it seems like a circuitous route. Because what happened was, the only reason I got that gig is because I sat home and watched American Idol every Tuesday and Wednesday night with my tweens. You know, year after year after year after year, I knew the difference between Clay Aiken and Reuben Studdard. I knew, you know, who Carrie Underwood, and everyone knows Carrie Underwood, but do people know Bo Bice, you know, number two that year? I knew it all, and I was handed that gig. So I followed my heart. I had written down 20 years before I wanted to be a best-selling author. I gave it all up to follow my heart. I was handed a best-selling book to write because I followed my heart and treated everybody as the most important person in the world. I know that was a long story, but I hope it was helpful to somebody listening out there.
Oh, that's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. And I love that about you. You are so authentic. You are someone who truly does walk your talk. You know, you embody the principles that you teach and share. And that is, it's so beautiful. I love that about you. This is just a big love fest.
Well, thank you, and I love that about you. And what can we do but just try to do our best, you know? And again, love ourselves when we fall down because we are, in fact, human.
Yeah, it's so true. That's really important too, because oftentimes people get into the beating themselves up, you know, oh, if I had just said this or if I had done this. And if you can just accept yourself, love yourself for everything that you've done or that you are, it's okay. Everything seems to work its way out, and opportunities still come. So when you know, I know you work with lots of people and you help your clients get into an abundant mindset and to formulate a belief system around abundance. And you told, I overheard a story that you told once about how you were getting ready to step back into your career, and it was, I think, was it from an Oprah show where?
Oh, yes.
Will you share that story with the audience?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't about to step back into my career, but it was a wonderful, wonderful experience that has kept me going for many, many years. It was actually when I had left my career, and my kids were, then after my daughter was born, then I had a son 3 years later. And when the kids were about 2 and 5, it was a day when they were particularly out of sorts. Is this the story, the one where they wanted to watch Barney?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't usually put them in front of the TV, but this is definitely a TV day because they were just, nothing was making them happy. I thought, okay, Barney it is. So they sat down on the couch, and my daughter had a speech impediment. She couldn't say her R's, and she was like, Mommy, where's Barney? Where's Barney? I'm finding Barney. I'm finding Barney. Like, it's okay. Like, chill. But it was like one of those days. And I'm doing a channel check, and as I'm looking for Barney, for a split second, I saw Oprah. And not only did I see Oprah, but Oprah was interviewing one of my students. And not only was Oprah interviewing one of my students, but this particular student had just written a best-selling book and was demonstrating to Oprah the power of the mind using a demonstration that he had learned in my seminar. Now, that was fine because when I left, I said, take my stuff, public domain, teach it, use it. But on this particular day, with these two whiny kids on the couch, I love you kids, but they were, and here's this guy on Oprah, and Oprah's like, oh my God, this is the most unbelievable demonstration of the power of your mind. By the way, I had cognized this demonstration in one of my meditations. I got it, you know, how we could demonstrate the power of my mind. So there he was on Oprah, and Oprah was just freaking out. I'm going to teach this to my whole staff. So I'm standing in front of the TV. My daughter's, where's Barney? Where's Barney? And I just broke. I just burst into tears. And I started thinking I had completely ruined my life. So, guys, if you ever doubt that you made the right choice, whatever it is, believe me, everybody doubts. Again, we're human. So if you doubt, all you have to do is say to yourself, I love you, human. You are so freaking human. So I'm in front of the TV, and I am, crying. And, of course, it made my kids stop crying because they were in such shock. Like, you know, now mommy's standing in front of the TV crying, like, what's happening here? She sees this lady interviewing this nice man, and she bursts into tears. So anyway, I'm standing there in front of the TV. All time and space just kind of disappears. I think I've absolutely ruined my life. And my daughter goes, Mommy? And I say, what, sweetie? She goes, where's my popsicle? Because I promised her that I would make her orange juice popsicles. So I thought, okay, I'll get your popsicle. So I find Barney, turn on Barney, go in the kitchen. I'm pouring the orange juice into those little plastic molds, still crying, thinking I had destroyed my life. And this little voice says to me, remember the book, which, of course, made me cry more because I was about to have my book published. I'm like, gee, I have to rub it in, you know, like that wasn't me on Oprah. And I'm like, and then this little voice, you know, from inside, I call it the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. The voice of God said, and believe me, it does not come like Charlton Heston. The voice did not say, remember the book. It's just, you know, some little something from the inside. So then this little voice said, no, not that book. And then I remembered this book that I had read several years before about a man who had died and actually had the choice and was allowed to come back. And he shared his experience of what he had seen on the other side. And he told the story about how he went through this dark tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel there is a being of light. And the being of light said to him, would you like to see a movie reel, essentially, of the high points in your life? And the man said, yes, of course. And the movie were the most important times in your life. And the movie reel was really, really short. It showed him dancing with his daughter at her wedding, showing his son how to swing a baseball bat, just very, very few things. And the man was indignant on the other side. He's still indignant. What about the time I brought my company public? What about the time it started being traded on the New York Stock Exchange? What about when I opened up the factories in Japan? And the being of light said, all of those instances glorified you. All of those instances glorified you. And now the being said, would you like to see the life of somebody else who's recently passed over? And the man said, I certainly would. And And as he describes it in the book, these two curtains of golden light parted, and there sitting on a golden throne of light, surrounded by a host of angels, was the woman who used to take several buses to get to his house to clean his house. And then the being of light said, now I will show you the high points of her life. And it was an endless reel. It showed her carrying a pot of soup to a sick friend. It showed her holding and comforting a sad child. It showed her holding her mother's hand as her mother made her transition. It showed her cheering at baseball game for the kids whose parents couldn't be there to cheer for them because they had to work two or three jobs just to put food on the table. And it showed her just going to church and hugging up everybody and saying, you know, how you doing today? And then the being of light turned to the man and said, when you arrive here, you find out that the only thing that matters while you're on earth is how much love you give.
Mm. Wow. You know, I can completely relate to that. My twin brother had passed on from cancer a few years ago. And during the last 2 years of his life, when he knew that he was getting ready to transition, he always said, and we had these beautiful long conversations about life, and he kept saying to me, Jaden, it's all about relationships. Life is all about relationships. And he was he's so right about that. You know, it's who we relate with, who we touch, and, you know, in business and in our personal life. There's a reason that people are drawn to our work, and there's a reason that we connect with others. And I believe as long as we can have a perspective around that connection, that it's to access that individual, like you said, that God part within them and reach them on a deeper level than just, you know, how's the weather today? It's so much more. And we often get confused when we think about the energy of money because so many people are focused in that direction. So how do we help people harness the idea of the energy of money in such a way that, I mean, is it enough to say that if you're of service to others that the money comes? And what are your thoughts, Deborah? Because you're such an expert in this field, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, there are so many different things that we can do to increase our prosperity and get in that flow. But before I share that, I just want to know your brother's name.
Bladen.
Oh, that is so cool. Jaden and Bladen. Oh,
yeah.
My God, because I just feel him. Oh, I feel him so strongly right now. Wow, what a beautiful soul he was. And is, still is.
Yeah.
Okay, I just
still
was feeling
is.
Him. So still is.
Aww.
Well, yes, I just so feel him. Wow. Anyway, and he loves you so much. And he really appreciates that you're doing this work. He really is so happy that this is what you're doing.
Wonderful.
So.
Well, he inspired me. You know, it was after his passing, I met my wife, and we have my beautiful step-up kids, and I don't think that I would have fully engaged in that because I was happy-go-lucky single guy. And then when he, you know, after years of him saying enough, it's all about people and relationships, and I made an effort after that to really connect with someone on a deeper level and commit to a deeper relationship and a marriage. And I probably wouldn't, you know, who knows, I might still be single at this point if that hadn't happened. So, yeah, he's an incredible being and with me all the time. And in fact, I'm holding his Mont Blanc pen right now. And
ooh, and he had good taste. He had good taste besides.
Oh, yeah, he sure does. Still does. He makes me laugh.
Well, you know, speaking of that, that is actually a perfect transition to answer that question. I think one of the reasons that people don't step into their abundance, and I'll just throw this one out because I have a feeling that there's some guests listening that need to hear this. People are actually scared of money and scared of nice things. in deep down, for some reason, whether it's their programming, past life, whatever, a lot of people actually do think it's a bad or an evil thing, even if on the surface level they don't. I mean, let's think about this. Most people, they go to the store to buy something, and they take their money out of their wallet, and they, you know, hand it to the clerk really quickly, okay? And they never stop to appreciate it. It's almost as if it has the cooties, okay? It's like it's like a hot potato. And really, think about it. How many of us take that money out of our wallet and think, wow, you are so beautiful. Thank you so much for everything that you're bringing into my life. I mean, you don't even have to appreciate specifically, you know, Abraham Lincoln or Hamilton or Ben Franklin, who's ever on that bill, but the beauty of that money, the energy of that money. So what I say to people is to appreciate the money as it's coming out of your wallet. And the other thing, just pause and look at it with love and appreciation, and also pause and appreciate what you purchase with that money. Have gratitude. What many people do is they'll go to the grocery store, okay, and they'll get this big bag of beautiful fruits and vegetables overflowing, you know, in the summer, and it's just like greens and peaches and watermelon. And what do? I can't believe $30, one bag of groceries? That's ridiculous, right? We don't put our attention on the bounty. We put our attention on the lack. We feel contracted because now we have $30 less instead of expanded. And the expanded state of our hearts, the expanded state that comes about from our appreciation, is the opening that's going to flow more money and more beautiful things like Mont Blanc pens into our experience. Same thing. And I also, when I write a check, instead of, oh my God, $100 for this, every dollar I spend comes back to me multiplied. You know, that's a very, very old spiritual principle. Whenever you spend money, every dollar I spend comes back to me 100-fold or 1,000-fold. Also, when people are paying their bills, instead of feeling contracted, take your attention away from, can you believe how much this gas bill is? I can't stand NICOR. They're such jerks. I can't stand ComEd. They're such ripoffs. I mean, that's how people pay their bills. Instead, put your attention on the glory of the great good fortune that you were born at this time and in this place where you have heat in the winter and cool air in your home. I mean, do you know how many people would give anything to be sitting in 72 degrees when it's 100 degrees outside, like maybe the rest of the whole world, or turning a faucet in your bathroom or your kitchen and this pure water comes out that you can bathe in and cook with and wash. I mean, come on. And what do? We complain when we have to pay those bills. The huge majority of the people in the world would give anything to have what we take for granted. So money is not evil. It's glorious. But it just wants, just like all energy, a little respect and a little appreciation.
That's so powerful. Respect and appreciation for money. I love that. Thank you. Because not many people talk about that. And there's a lot of positive energy behind that, and that's the expansiveness that you talk about. That's really powerful. Thank you. You're awesome, Deborah. I could listen to you all day long. Can you believe we're already at the top of the hour, and it goes by fast. So would you please share with our listeners how they can find more about you and your work?
Well, yestosuccess.com. That website, it's a work in progress, but that is where they could find. I do have my entire Yes to Success seminar, which is the seminar that Marcy and Janet and the wonderful person who was on Oprah and so many other people really do attribute their success to. And that could be found on my website, yestosuccess.com. But I also put together a free gift for your listeners. I did.
Thank you. What are we getting?
And what it is a about a year, maybe 2 years, I don't know, ago, I was a speaker at Greg Hapstritz, you know, Simple Wealth, at his Money Boot Camp up in Calgary. And it was 3 days of brilliant experts, some of the world's top trainers on prosperity and abundance. And I gave a talk, I think it was maybe 60 or 90 minutes. And it was, according to Greg, I was the speaker that was requested, they did a survey at the end, as the speaker that people most wanted back next year. And what I did was I took that talk that I did, and I'm going to give it to your people because I love you, so I have to love them by, you know, in relationship. So if they could find that at yestosuccess.com/soul-to-profit.
Excellent. So that's yestosuccess.com/soul-to-profit, just like the radio show name.
Yes,
wow.
Oh, and the yes to success is also T-O. It's not the number two. Thanks for saying
okay.
that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your generosity and for the time that you spent with me and my listeners today on the show. You are fantastic. I'd love to have you back on at some point, and we can go even further into this beautiful talk.
Well, I would love that because, you know, I adore you. So any chance to spend time with you, I'm there.
Oh, Deborah, you are a sweetheart. Thank you so much. I wish you the most amazing rest of the day, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for blessing our audience today.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Deborah Poneman, how amazing is she? I knew you would love her and her works. Please go to her website. Again, that is yestosuccess.com/soul-to-profit to pick up that amazing free gift that she has for you. And next week, I will be back on the air with my guest, Diana Bose. Diana is the editor of Be Fabulous magazine, and she will share how to get everything you need to have success show up in your life. Please remember to join my Facebook page at Jaden Sterling Wealth. And you need the and symbol there, wisdom. And on Twitter, you can connect with me at JS Wealth Wisdom, all one word. And again, as always, have a fantastic week. Remember to do those things that fill your soul and your wallet. Take care, everyone.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.